So this is for your blessing. I want to start out with John 1, verse 29. Because when you think about this time, what we're going to talk about a little bit today is just about how Jesus was the Lamb, the Passover Lamb. And he is, like 1 Corinthians says, he was the Passover Lamb who was sacrificed for us. And when John, in John 1, verse 29, when John the Baptist is baptizing Jesus and he first comes up, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." So it was really, just think about that. Here John is, he's baptizing by the river, right, and this guy that he doesn't really know necessarily very well comes walking up, and God just gives him this vision. He is the Passover Lamb. And this is what's going to happen. And so just in that simple verse alone, you start thinking about what Jesus accomplished for us. He took away the sins of the world. So everything he went through during the last week is the same thing that's happening to the lamb, the Passover lamb that year. So that's what this chart's all about. It starts out with when the lamb was chosen is the 10th of Nisan, and that was the Saturday, so it was Sabbath. And that's when he comes in on the donkey, and people are saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And they recognize that he was the Messiah. The people chose him that day. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, those guys were not choosing him, but the people did. So anyway, you can follow along and look up these verses when you get a chance. But it's so cool to see, because once they chose the lamb, then those next 3 days, so from the 10th until the 14th, he was in the temple, and he was examined by all the various groups, the Herodians, the Pharisees, the scribes, the elders. They all came and asked him hard questions. And that's when the lamb was tied up right there in the temple too, and people could come and examine the lamb to see if it had any spot or blemish on it. And he passed all the tests during that time. He also, they cleaned 11 out of their houses, because this was the time when they were going to eat unleavened bread. And what leaven represents like wickedness. So when Jesus goes in the temple and he kicks the money changers out, and then he says, "My house is a house of prayer," and he makes a really big deal about cleaning the temple out. It's like he went to his father's house and he cleaned out the leaven out of the house. And anyway, there's a lot more things. Exactly when the Passover lamb was being killed on the 14th of Nisan, in the afternoon, it was called between the evening, that's when Jesus died. But, you know, he went on the cross at 9 in the morning, right? Well, at 9 in the morning is when they took the Passover lamb and hung him on a stake in the temple for everybody to see. So he was hanging on the cross for those 6 hours until it was the exact time when they would kill the first lamb in the temple. And that's when he said, "It is finished." So the parallels are just amazing. So what I wanted to do today, though, is just take a look at what the resurrection means to us. There are so many verses that you could go to, but I think it's just a really, really wonderful day. I was at yesterday, yesterday I was I was kind of sad, and I was just thinking about, you know, how things happen in our lives and stuff like that. And then I opened my inbox, and I looked in the inbox, and there's this little tiny article about resurrection power. And the line that jumped out of that article to me was, resurrection power helps to heal the grief in your life. And I went, whoa, I never thought of that before. But it was just like a gift, you know, that God gave to me at that moment. And so I thought I would share that too, because I know we're still grieving. And it, the thing is that because of the resurrection, we have hope. So let's just look at a few verses. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter is really wonderful. It says in verse 3, and I'm going to read from the Aramaic translation, but you can read whatever you've got there. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who by his great mercy has fathered us anew to the hope of life. Like a living hope, right? We have a living hope. It's not something that is just words on a page. It's a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because God raised him from the dead, he raised him exactly 3 days and three nights after he was put in the grave. So late Saturday afternoon, he was raised from the dead. And we have hope. We have a living hope because of that. So jump down to verse 18 and look at that. Knowing that you were not redeemed with silver that is corruptible, nor with gold by your empty words that you received from your fathers. So, you know, they were not redeemed by the law, but with the precious blood of the Lamb, who has no spot or blemish, who is Christ. He is the Messiah. He's the one who was the Lamb without spot and blemish. He was previously appointed to this before the foundations of the world. Just stop there for a second. God knew he was going to be the Lamb from the foundation of the world. He knew exactly how it was all going to be. Sometimes I think about how God's view of history is so amazing. It's like he's outside of time. You know, picture time like this big thing like this. And his view of it is above that. So that's how come he can see the end from the beginning. He can see what's going to happen before it ever happens. And he knows what people's choices are going to be. He doesn't control people, but he knows what they're going to choose. And that view of time like that view of history is amazing, because he knew exactly what Jesus was going to do and that he would be obedient all the way to the cross. He was revealed in the end of times for you, who by way of him have believed in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory. And so, get this, so that your faith and your hope would be in God. One of the reasons when we believe in the resurrection, what happens is that our faith is in God, right? Okay, but then also we get hope because of that. So our faith and our hope is in God because of the resurrection. You can think about that for a while. These are verses that I just think are just really powerful, because, you know, it's like that song says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. There's no fear. So, how about 1 Corinthians 15? The other thing that happened, you have the Passover celebration, and then you have the first fruits offering, which what happened, on Saturday when Jesus was raised from the dead. It was right between the evenings again, so exactly 72 hours from the time that he was put in the grave, right? Right? You following me so far? Okay. That time was the exact time that they were cutting the first sheaf of barley out in the field. They had marked where the barley sheaf was going to be on the 14th of Nisan, and then on that Saturday afternoon, they all went out to cut it down. And so it was released from the ground at that moment on Saturday evening. And then all during the night, they prepare it and make it into really fine flour. And it's presented as the first fruits offering in the temple about 6 in the morning the following day, so Sunday morning, okay? So when, okay, so 1 Corinthians 15, are you there? All right, 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Woohoo! Oh, man. But each in his own order. So Christ is the first fruit, right? He's the first one that got raised from the dead to have a spiritual body that would not ever die again. Then at his coming, those who belong to Christ,
that's us.
And then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And then the last enemy to be destroyed is death. So Christ is the first fruits offering. So if you go, if you just take a look at the appearance that Jesus made to Mary Magdalene, that's in John 1, John chapter 20. In verse 1, it says, now on the first of the week, so the first of the week is the Sunday, Mary Magdalene came in the early morning while it was dark, okay? In order to put all the resurrection appearances together, you have to jump verses. Like one gospel will say one thing and another gospel will say something else, and you put all the pieces together. The Mary Magdalene was the first one to go to the tomb, and it was very early in the morning, so it was still dark, okay? And she sees that the stone is rolled away already. Don't you think that must have been a shock? So, if you jump down to verse 11, it says, now Mary was standing by the grave and was crying. And as she cried, she looked into the grave. And all of a sudden, she saw two angels in white who were sitting, one by his pillows and one at his feet, where the body of Jesus had been laid. And they said to her, woman, why are you crying? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have put him. She's confused, right? But the tomb is empty. And she sees it, and then she sees the angel, right? And then the other gospel said, he's not here, he's risen. He's risen. And she said this, and she turned back, and she saw Jesus standing there, only she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you crying and whom do you seek? Now she thought that he was the gardener and said to him, my Lord, if you have taken him, tell me where you have put him. I will go and take him away. So she's still thinking that somebody came and robbed the grave, like somebody rolled the stone away, took his body out, and put it somewhere else. And she's thinking that she needs to find out what's going on. how this happened. And then Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned around and said to him in Hebrew, Rabuli, or Rabboni, which means teacher, my teacher. Jesus said to her, Do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and tell them that I ascend to my Father and your Father and to my God and to your God. And then Mary Magdalene came and declared to the disciples that she had seen our Lord and that he had told her these things. And at that point, the disciples do not believe it either. But she did. She believed. She went running to tell the disciples. But Jesus said, don't touch me. Now later, there's other women that he meets on the road, and he lets them touch his feet. So what happened between the time Mary saw Jesus in the garden? It was still dark, right? Okay, but by the time the sun had risen in the early morning, he had already gone to all the way through the heavens, it says in Ephesians, to the throne of God and presented himself as the first fruits from the dead at the exact time that they were presenting the barley harvest offering in the temple. So he was not only the lamb, he was also the first fruits offering. And just like Corinthians was talking about how he's the first one that got up from the dead, he's the first one to have this spiritual body. That body could fly through the heavens and come back down in less than an hour. It's like faster than the speed of light. I mean, it's the kind of body that we are going to have is so magnificent because we're going to have a body exactly like his, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be able to do that kind of thing where you want to go around the world? All right, let's go over to China today and then an hour later, he can come back to the United States, wherever you want to go. Whatever God says to do, we'll be able to do because that body is so magnificent. And this is just, you can read a lot about, you know, what Jesus did after the resurrection, how he would have walked through walls and appear in different form and all these really cool things. But anyway, I just thought that it would be important to note that he was the lamb and he was also the first fruits offering. So now what does the resurrection mean? You know, what does it mean to us right now? Because I always think about how you're going to teach a lot of this kind of thing, then it has to be practical. It needs to mean something to us. Because we can say all day long, he is risen, he is risen. I'm getting text messages already this morning, all a bunch of them. But what does it mean? And so look at Romans chapter 4. One of the things that we have because of the resurrection is that we have peace, in total opposite to being afraid. Verse 23 of Romans 4 says, And not on his behalf only was this written. His faith was counted for uprightness or righteousness. But also on our behalf, he's talking about Abraham. In chapter 4 there, that his faith was counted for righteousness, right, because he believed. Well, the same thing is when we believe, our faith is counted for righteousness too. Okay? Verse 25, who was delivered up for our sins. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, but he was delivered up for our sins. Remember I said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And he rose in order to justify us. Or for our justification. So his death took care of our sins, right? But when he was raised from the dead, that's when we got justified, where we were freed from the blame and the consequences of all of our sins.
Therefore, so you can't stop at the end of that chapter. You got to keep reading. Therefore, because we are justified, okay, by faith, we have peace toward God by our Lord Jesus. We're raised with him, and then we get justification, and because we're freed from blame, that's why we can have peace. And not only that, but by verse 2, we were brought by faith to this grace in which we stand, as boast in the hope of the glory of God. So, we are brought into this grace in which we stand. We are brought into access directly with God Almighty, just like Jesus has. And because of that, then we become part of his family, we get his inheritance, we're joint heirs with Christ, we get the full inheritance that Jesus had. I mean, okay, so let's say this over again here. Christ died, he freed us from sin. Then when God raised him from the dead, we were justified and freed from blame, and then ushered into having complete, full access to the Father forever. And that's how come we can boast in the glory of God, because it's so magnificent. It's just, I don't know. I was thinking this morning, is like, as far as how to do a teaching like this. I'm just throwing out the verses, but what I really encourage you to do is just meditate on them, you know, and meditate. The word meditate means to mutter, like to say it over and over, kind of mutter it under your breath so you get it. It's a picture, the word meditate is a picture of a lion crouching over his prey where he's going, yeah, mine, nobody can take it. And you mutter, you speak over it, like, I am justified, I have peace, I have access, I am just raised to eternal life, I have the hope, I have a living hope in my heart. And you can speak it over yourself. So I thought that was pretty cool. If you go over to Romans 8, I'm just picking out a few verses. Romans 8, verse 11. And if the spirit of that one who raised our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you, well, if it does it live in you?
Yes.
Okay. That one who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also make alive your dead bodies because of the spirit that lives in you. Not only are we raised with him, but we've got the same spirit. The fullness of the spirit that was on Christ is part of the gift that God gives to us. You can think about that one for a long time too, right? Okay, go down to verse 23. And they are not alone, the creation, but we also who have the first fruit of the spirit grown within ourselves, and we wait for the adoption and the redemption of our bodies because we live in hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For if we see it, why do we wait for it? But if we hope for something that is not seen, we continue with endurance. The reason we can have endurance, keep going and fighting every single day, no matter what is going on in our lives, is because we have a spirit within us, and that spirit strengthens us every single day. It can be our source of strength. And just knowing that we're going to have new bodies like his body, that's just phenomenal. So, because we have that hope, because we have this living hope, then we can continue with endurance. Remember that verse in Philippians 3 where he's going to change our vile body to become exactly like his glorious body, right? I just sometimes I think about like Mary Magdalene or the women, or then when he appeared to the disciples in the room and all of a sudden he just showed up and he said, "Touch me, you know, here I am. And give me something to eat." It's like, guys, I think that's going to be so great that we get to eat in our new bodies. But anyway, those people actually got to see the resurrected Lord. All these good stuff. But the cool part for us is that even though we didn't actually see the resurrected Lord, he sent his spirit to us to be the substitute for us to have power and strength and everything the spirit does until he comes to gather us together when he can give us that new body. So we are waiting. We're enduring, right? We're saying, okay, I'm going to keep going here. And that's what 1 Corinthians 15 is talking about, too. I thought we would end by reading that part, the end of 1 Corinthians 15. It started just verse 42. Talking about all the different kinds of bodies. There's celestial bodies, there's heavenly bodies, there's earthly bodies. But so also, verse 42, is the resurrection of the dead. They are sown in corruption, but they are raised without corruption. Remember the song we played when we first did the service down here? That we shall all be changed. This corruptible shall put on incorruption. Yeah. Verse 43, they are sown in disgrace, but they are raised in glory. They are sown in weakness, but they are raised in power. It is sown a natural body, but it rises in what?
Spiritual
body. For there's a physical body and there's a spiritual body. So also it is written, Adam, the first man, became a living soul, but the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. For the spiritual was not first, but the natural and then the spiritual. The first man was dust from the earth. Adam was made out of dust, right? The second man was the Lord from heaven. And he was as he was of dust, so also are those of dust. But as he who was from heaven, so also are the heavenly ones. So we're going to have this heavenly spiritual body, just like Jesus Christ. And as we have worn the likeness of him who is from dust, yeah, we've worn that one pretty good all our lives here. So we will wear the likeness of him who is from heaven. If you jump down to verse 57, because that, you know, right after that it's talking about, behold, I'm going to show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Remember the blink?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. We're going to all be changed. But verse 57, blessed be God who gives us the victory by way of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when they chose the lamb and they on the 10th of Nisan, and he came into Jerusalem on the donkey, they were waving palm branches, right? The palm branches symbolized victory. And they were saying, Hosanna, meaning save now. Salvation is coming. And during the Passover celebration, they read one of the psalms they read was Psalm 118. And that's the psalm that says that verse about Hosanna. But it also says, it has the verse in that passage about, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The day of salvation is now, just like it was then. So we can wave palm branches, see, and just saying, blessed be God who gives us the victory by way of our Lord Jesus Christ. we have victory in the resurrection. And because he was the first fruits from the dead, then we're going to be able to have that. So in verse 58, therefore, my brothers and my beloved ones, be steadfast. See, in the resurrection, it gives you hope, and the hope is what gives us endurance. Be steadfast and do not be moved, but excel always in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not fruitless in our Lord. It's not fruitless. It's like a double negative. It absolutely will not fall to the ground and do nothing. All our labor, all our service, all our love, every time we reach out and love somebody, every time we speak God's word, every time we do anything for our Lord and Savior and walk in this world as his brother in that resurrection power, then it produces fruit. And so we'll know that our labor is not in vain. It's not hopeless. There's always hope. And we have this living, living hope because of the resurrection. Well, I just want to share today.